Numbers 13 is the story of the 12 spies that went out of the wilderness from the children of Israel and into the land of Canaan to spy out the land, you may remember. And while they were there, they saw some fantastic things. They went to see the fruit of the land, and they brought back a giant grape vine that had grapes on it that were just overflowing. And they realized that this land certainly was a land, as the Bible says, flowing with milk and honey. And when they came back, they reported to the people. And in the report, they told the people that not only was this a land flowing with milk and honey, but that there were certain enemies in the land. The Amalekites, for example. And then there were those who they considered to be giants. The descendants of Anak, they said. And they described themselves as being grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight as well. But Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, stood up and said, "Let us go up at once to possess it, for we are well able to overcome." And he believed that with the Lord on their side, that they could go into the land of Canaan, and they could conquer it, and that it would be theirs. Joshua gave his consent to Caleb, and he agreed with his statement. But the other 10 spies, they said, "No, we are not able to overcome it." And they discouraged the people, and they told the people that they could not conquer this land when God had told them that they could. And as a result of this failure, God devised a curse against the nation of Israel, that no one over 20 years old was going to be able to enter into the land of Canaan, but rather that they were going to die in the wilderness, except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Those two, and those two alone, out of everyone who was over 20 years old at the time, would be able to enter into the land. Now, as we think about Joshua and Caleb and the example that they set, we see that their example is one of integrity. Integrity. Now, integrity is a word that we don't hear much about anymore. But people who have integrity within their lives make a difference. And usually they can be seen by those around them. The word integrity means to hold together firmly. The idea is of someone who is morally stable and solid and trustworthy, who isn't going to fall apart under conditions that are adverse to him. As Christians, we want to stand in integrity. We want to be a people who has that as a quality within our lives. And so tonight, as we think about the topic of integrity, we want to think about what it means to really show that within our lives and what kind of things that we will do to show that we are a people of integrity. First of all, to stand in integrity, we must always do what is right, whether someone else is watching or not. It has been said that integrity is just that. Doing what is right, whether someone else sees you or doesn't see you. Joshua and Caleb were men of integrity. And even though the rest of the spies deferred and decided they didn't want to go into the land, they stood up and they said, "We can take it. We can go into this land. We can conquer it." And they were men of integrity for doing that. They did what was right, regardless of all the people who were watching them. And in fact, at the end of that conversation, all the people wanted to take up stones and stone Joshua and Caleb. And the Lord had to intervene, and he brought a plague upon the 10 men who brought an evil report, and they died because of their lack of faith in God. And that's when God rebuked the people. In fact, in this account, God says, you know, I have done so many miracles before you to prove that I am who I say I am, and yet you still won't believe. And that's when he decided that the folks who were over 20 years were not going to enter into the land. But Joshua and Caleb were men who did what was right. In Joshua 14 and verse 7, Joshua recalls, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as in my heart. And so he was 40 years old. And he told everybody what he was thinking. He told everybody about his faith in God and that God would deliver them. And in doing that, he let everybody know what his real thoughts were. He didn't try to mask things. He didn't try to be a politician. He didn't try to play around with his status there. He simply told everyone about his faith in God. Now, integrity is doing what is right even when no one else is watching. But we have to remember that God is always watching. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, we read, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." Psalm 44 and verse 21 says, "Shall not God search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart." We may be able to get away with lying to people. We may be able to get away with not being walking in integrity from time to time in the presence of men. But we will not get away with that in the presence of God. Because God is always watching. And you cannot get away with lying to God. To stand in integrity, we must always do what is right, whether someone is watching or not. Number two, to stand in integrity, we must keep our promises, even if they cause us personal loss or pain. Joshua and Caleb had a promise to keep. They were to be faithful to the Lord, and they were going to do what the Lord wanted them to do. They were going to put their faith and trust in God, and they were going to make the decisions in their life based upon that faith and trust in God. And that's what they needed to do. And in this situation, they faced some severe consequences. In fact, as we mentioned earlier, all the people were taking up stones to stone them. They complained against Moses. Chapter 14 and verse 2 says, "And the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt.' And they complained, 'Why has the Lord brought us to this land again?'" And so, they were going to lose something very dear and very precious to them for doing what was right. They were going to lose something for being faithful to the Lord, their very lives. But as we mentioned, God intervened and saved them from that fate, and then he was able to correct the situation. You know, one of the things that we need to understand about life is that sometimes it is hard to keep our promises. Sometimes we have difficulty because we don't know what the future has in store for us. And we make commitments in the present based upon what we think will happen in the future. But then sometimes things change, and we have to keep those commitments even based upon our own personal losses. Well, God knows that, and he appreciates people like that. Look, for example, at Psalm 15 for just a moment. This psalm talks about those who dwell with God. Psalm 15. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart. He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. In whose eyes a vile person is despised, but he honors those who fear the Lord. Now look at this next part. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. He who does not put out his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. And so one of the characteristics that God appreciates, one of the characteristics of those who are going to dwell with God in his holy hill, it are those who swear to their own hurt and do not change. You know, Joshua and Caleb were like that. And to be people of integrity, we need to be like that as well. We need to be as the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We need to be good stewards of a lot of things. Our families, our homes, our possessions. But most importantly, we need to be good stewards of our word. And when we make a promise, we need to keep that promise, even if it means personal loss or pain. And to do that shows that we are people of integrity. But number three, to stand in integrity, we must always put our faith in God, regardless of what obstacles may come our way. And there are great obstacles. There were great obstacles for Joshua and Caleb. And they would continue to face great obstacles, even wandering through the wilderness for 40 years. And then entering into the land of Canaan and leading the armies of Israel in battle against all of those other peoples. There were great obstacles in front of them. But they had faith in God. And with faith, we can conquer those obstacles. Jesus said in Matthew 17, verse 20, "Verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be moved, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." You see, we know that all things are possible through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4 and verse 13. And in the face of these great obstacles, we should not let fear make our choices. Those who live by fear, those who let fear dominate them and control them, those are the ones who aren't living by faith, but they're letting their own fears dictate the course of their life. Revelation 21:8 says that among others who will be cast into the lake of fire are the fearful. And John writes, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." 1 John 4:18. And so to be people who stand in integrity, we need to always put our faith in God. And then finally, to be a people who stand in our integrity, we need to stand up for what's right, regardless of the opposition. And sometimes the opposition can be overwhelming. For Joshua and Caleb, the whole nation of Israel, seemingly, opposed them and wanted to do away with them. And we see that through the history of the pages of the Bible, that there are many who stood up for what was right and was opposed by the majority. And as a result, some of them were even put to death. Stephen, the first Christian martyr, whose story you'll find in Acts chapter 7, stood up against those who were accusing him of blaspheming against God and against the temple. And he made a defense of Jesus Christ based upon the history of the Jewish nation and showed very clearly that within their history, they had a pattern of behavior that rejected their saviors and that they were doing the same thing with Jesus. And at the end of his speech, it says that they gnashed on him with their teeth and they took up stones and they stoned him and put him to death. But he stood up for what was right. Paul the Apostle was opposed for doing what was right. Jesus was opposed for doing what was right. But we need to do what is right anyway. Jesus said, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before them." Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." And Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." But the apostles and the prophets of the New Testament, Christians of the New Testament who suffered because they stood up for what was right, they didn't look at that persecution and think, "Oh, woe is me." They didn't have any self-pity because of that. But rather, their attitude was found in Acts chapter 5 and verse 41. They departed from the presence of the council, listen, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for His name. And so they looked at this as an opportunity to live for God and to do what is right and to understand that even when others oppose us, that we should stand for what is right. That's integrity. That's doing things the way God wants them done. Integrity. Integrity is really living the way God wants us to live. Integrity is really following after Jesus each and every day. Putting faith in Him when life gets real. When life gets hard. When it gets difficult. When people oppose us. When people reject us. When people mock us. When we suffer loss and pain, when we have obstacles that come our way, being a person of integrity means that we're going to hold together under all these things and that ultimately we're going to put our faith and trust in God. The story of Joshua and Caleb is a great story, and it really does illustrate for us the great principle of what it means to have integrity within our life. Let's remember that to stand in integrity, we must always do what is right, regardless of whether someone is watching or not. And never forget that God is always watching. To stand in integrity, we must keep our promises, even if they cause us personal loss or pain. To stand in integrity, we must always put our faith in God, regardless of what obstacles come our way. And to stand in integrity, we need to stand up for what is right, regardless of how many others oppose us. Now, these biblical truths are here to encourage us, to keep us strong, to keep us faithful, to let us know what to expect out of life as it comes along. And life is just beginning for some. It is wrapping up for others. And it is a great, but it is always a great time to serve God. And so let's remember what it means to stand in integrity. And let's do as the psalmist says in Psalm 41 and verse 12. "And as for me, thou upholdest me in my integrity, and settest me before thy face forever." If we will trust in God, if we'll put our faith in Him, then our relationship with God will be strong. And we will be able to be before the face of God all of our lives and on into eternity. How is your relationship with God this evening? Have you been putting your faith and trust in Him? Have you been walking in integrity, doing what is right, always looking to Him? We beseech you this evening to make things right with God if you need to do that this evening. If you need to become a Christian, you can hear His word and believe it. Repent of sin, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins this very evening. You need to repent of sin within your life. Now is an opportunity to come forward and to make that known before the church. If you need the prayers of the church for whatever reason, you can also use this opportunity to make that known. Whatever your need may be, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.